Welcome back to Rosie on the House. We were just talking about watering last segment, and how about all this water the state received? Talk about a hydrated Arizona.
That's a couple weeks ago, they started letting water out of Granite Reef Dam down the normally dry Salt River bed. So we actually have a Salt River running in places.
I saw a lot of criticism on that, but I mean, they've got to be able to accommodate for the snow that's going to be melting and coming behind it.
The problem is storage on the Verde side. So the Verde River only has two dams, and one of them is really set up as a flood control dam, not a storage dam. So once they're full, which they are, they were virtually full, and the amount of water that was coming in was going to...
see a mess and set us back. Keep those dams full and let them flood out.
It's just too bad we don't have a place that we could take that water from Granite Reef and send it to Pinal County, for instance, and let them store it for a while. They could use it down there. So,
but how often do we get that much? I mean, that would be once every 10 year solution, 8 years, 7 years.
Yeah,
it
doesn't happen that often. It goes in cycles. It seems like it'll do it every year for a few years, and then I don't know how long it's been since the last time they had let water out. It's been several years for sure.
I saw something where a couple weeks ago, we were already over the amount of acre feet for water in our reservoirs than we received the first 6 months of all last year.
You know, that October we had was, you know, pretty amazing, and then you've put all of this on top of it. And so, yeah, it bodes well. It couldn't have come...
At a more needed time.
I mean, somebody up there was watching out for us, I think.
Amen. So what does that do for our spring gardening aside from, and we'll get into it after the news break because it's too long of a conversation, but aside from a huge population of weeds, what
I was just going to say, what it really does is it makes everything grow better, including the weeds. So the spring flush on all of your landscape plants, you'll notice, you know, has been pretty heavy. It's started already, obviously. The stuff we don't want started a long time ago. I mean, it's now some of it is 3 and 4 and 5 feet tall, I've noticed, driving around. The big cheeseweed, the big leafed malbo plant. Man, they're like trees now.
And what is that cheeseweed? I mean, it seems like you can drive out in the natural desert and not see it anywhere, but you come into any area of any kind of human population, and you've got cheeseweed.
Yeah, in all honesty, I don't know, you know, where it came from or why it's here, but you're right. It seems to be more in the urban, suburban areas as opposed to, it's certainly not native out in the desert. You don't see really any of it out there.
How did it get its name, cheeseweed?
Good question. If I'd have known we were going to talk about it, we'd have looked it up. I don't know. But, It's a fast growing deal and it gets big. And the problem is once it dries out and you got a big dry dead end, it gets a huge trunk on it. So if you see that coming up, you want to control it right off the bat.
Our property, for whatever reason, has its fair share of cheeseweed. And if that trunk gets too big, the goats won't even eat the stem. I mean, you could leave them tied there all day and they at some point it gets too big. They go for the leaves and the small stems first. Mm-hmm. They get down to that trunk, they would starve as before they ate that. I think it's because it probably just gets to the point they can't.
Yeah, it might be just absolutely unedible. So, yeah, and then you're deemed with mechanical removal of some type, and then you got to get rid of it and dispose of it, and because you can't, it's hard to compost big thick stuff like that too. You almost need to run it through a chipper.
Well, that's what the bush hog on the John Deere's for.
There you go.
And these methods are all for people like us. You kind of joked about it in the last segment that are maybe a little late starting seeds, so I'm going to the planter. Well, we're a little late applying pre-emergence, so we're going to mechanical removal. Is there any use in putting down pre-emergent now?
Well, pre-emergent will start preventing weeds from the time it's incorporated into the soil, worked in, watered in. Whatever, it's obviously too late for the material that's there now, but this isn't the end of it. I mean, we're going to have weeds that come up this summer, you know, if we get any monsoon moisture or any moisture, you know, they're saying this could go on through March and into April or May with this El Nino weather pattern. So I certainly would not hesitate to put down. In fact, it's really a good time to do it now. And then the fall application is what would have prevented what we're looking at now. So a fall and spring application of a good pre-emergent herbicide will save you lots of unnecessary labor. I think weeding is one of the most frustrating things because it really doesn't accomplish anything. It just kind of gets rid of stuff that you wish hadn't been there anyway. So it's not very constructive.
And there's so many constructive things we could do.
Absolutely.
Biggest anxiety with weeding is you get done all this time and it's a temporary fix.
It's a whole lot more fun to plant something than it is to just have to go out there and weed before you can even plant something.
They are very opportunistic, and it's our job to eliminate that opportunity from the beginning with certain types of pre-emergence.
Correct. That's a great way to put it.
All right. We'll talk about different types you can apply. I know if we've got lawn, there's a certain one that applies for spurge. There's some on the market now that advertises post and a weed killer and a pre-emergent. We'll dive through that here at Rosie on the House. Ooh.